Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Camera Podcast, Pubs, Pints, People. I'm Ant, and as ever, I'm joined by my fellow hosts, Mr. Matt Bundy and Claire Phillips. Hello, both of you.
Hello.
Hello. Nice formality, Mr. Matt Bundy, to you, my friends.
Absolutely. Now, listen, it's often said that the pub is at the heart of the community. I certainly agree with that. And it plays an absolutely vital role for the locals, whether it's in a village or city centre. But sometimes pubs need their community as much as the community needs the pub. And that's what we're talking about this week. This episode is all about community pub ownership, which is becoming a hot topic as we all get ready to go back to the pub. At time of recording, we are days away from being allowed into a beer garden.
We're so close. By the time this goes out, I think it will be actually possible.
If it doesn't, you can accept it as my verbal resignation from the podcast, because I'm clearly cursing the roadmap out of lockdown.
We have been a drinks before, haven't we? Where we've said, looking forward to that fight, and then we come back on the next episode. Sorry, guys. Well, I'll tell you, this idea of saving pubs in the community is not a new idea. You know, for Camera, of course. You know, in recent years, the campaign has had to focus on the awful, regrettable closure of so many pubs and clubs around the country. And now, obviously, COVID is posing a new threat, making that even worse. So I guess if you've ever thought about running a pub or club or saving one from closure or saving it from being turned into a block of flats or whatever awful fate might await it when it should be a pub, then you can actually find further resources and advice on the Camera website. There's a special section, and it's at camera.org.uk/save-your-local. That's all one word. Save your local.
And of course, with community pub ownership, you're not on your own. You can be pretty sure that if you love your local pub, there'll be plenty of others who want to get involved too. And Camera has lots of info about the process of community pub ownership and operation, including a special step-by-step guide covering things like the slightly different situations in Scotland, Wales and England. And there are even more resources, including a few lovely success stories and a list of all the community pubs in the UK on the website. And that's camera.org.uk/community-pubs, and again, community pubs, all one word.
Now, the government has recognised the role that community ownership can play in saving our pub heritage and has responded to campaigns and lobbying from the whole industry, including Camera. They announced a new £150 million community ownership fund. Wonderful stuff. Now, bids can be made from June when it opens to applications, and the prospectus will be released then. So the details so far are on the government website, that's gov.uk, on the community ownership fund page. Check out the show notes if you want to find it directly.
Yeah, we should say that. Don't worry if you're not writing down all of these web addresses, you know, these URLs, for the tech guys call them, don't they? But, you know, all the links are in the show notes, you know, to all the websites, so you can go back and do that after. Keep listening first.
And do you have many community pubs near you guys? Because where I am, we've really got quite a lot. In fact, there's one that I've even bought a few shares in, and there's several more near me that are just in the process, I think, of starting out as groups getting together to try and buy their pubs as well. So it's a pretty busy part of the world here on the Suffolk-Essex border for community-owned pubs.
I think there are some in the area, and I've got one saved up for only here for the beer a little bit later on. But I think it's certainly something that I reckon we're going to see more of as we come out of this lockdown. I think there are a lot of them that have been put under threat, and it would be lovely to see that community spirit continue and people get in there. I mean, I certainly would be game for getting involved in the community ownership of a pub, because, hey, why the devil not?
Exactly, yeah.
Same here. There's actually one in Berkhamsted, my town, which has been considered at the moment whether the community is going to do it. It's called the Crystal Palace, and it was going to be turned into flats, and now it's been saved from that, which is great because it's a lovely old pub right by the canal. And I think there's now just a decision about whether it's the community is going to do it or whether redeveloped by the people who own the pub at the moment. But I'd love it if it was a community pub and I'd get involved because I actually have always wanted to own part of a pub. I'm learning this week about something that I want to do.
I only own a very little bit, probably like the corner of the front door or something, but it's really worthwhile getting involved in it. And I think we even got a share dividend a year or so ago, which was about the price of a half pint, I think, but I immediately reinvested it, obviously.
Do you get your name on something at your end? Do you get like your own bar stool or tankard, Claire?
Sadly, no. But we did all get our photograph taken outside the pub, all holding up the letters saying we saved our pub when it first opened. And that got used in lots of camera magazines and things.
That's
a little bit of fame, yeah.
I like the thought of owning a piece of architrave, you know, in a pub and say, well, this skirting board is mine.
I've probably got the handle of the door to the ladies or something.
The reason I ask is because, funny story, so a similar thing, like a community-owned pub is actually owned by comedians, people in the comedy community. It's called the Bill Murray Pub, just in Angel. And I invested in that where you could buy your name on various parts of it. And I was really pleased because I got like my name on a chair. And then I did realise that somebody, I think it's a famous comedian, might be Alexei Sale or somebody of that ilk,
wow,
has got the urinals. He's got the urinals. And somebody else has got one just for the toilet. And I think it says, this goes the same way as my career. And I just love that. I just think there's loads of like, really funny plaques that you've got to go around. I always regret mine, that mine's just my name. So anyway, we're going to go and hear some real-life stories of local pubs being saved by the local communities. So in our first interview with Paul Ainsworth, who is the chairman of Camera's Pub Heritage Group, lovely to hear from him, and he's also the author of the National Pub Saving Guides that we've mentioned that are on the website. And Paul is in conversation here with Camera correspondent Susanna Mansfield.
I got very interested in community-owned pubs a while ago because I was just astonished at how successful they are. We've now got over 104 community-owned pubs, and not a single one has gone bust, you know, which is amazing, mm-hmm, considering most of them were, you know, pubs that have been written off by their previous owners. So I think they're a great thing.
So how would you define a community-owned pub? And let's have a little potted history, mm-hmm, of what a community-owned pub is.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, the simple answer is it's a pub business that's owned and controlled by a number of people within the community and for the benefit of that community. There are several models, different ways of operating a community pub. Some are what are called community benefit societies, which are essentially cooperatives. And then you've got private limited companies, and there's community interest companies, which are social enterprises. And some parish councils actually own the pubs on behalf of their community. And there's also different ways in which they can be then run. Some communities do it all themselves. You know, the volunteers run the pub, which is pretty brave. And the majority feel well, it's better left to the professionals. So they either employ a manager or let the pub to a tenant, and they run the business, and the community keeps an eye on it, and everybody's happy.
So when was the first community pub opened? Because it's quite a different model, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and quite a recent phenomenon, really. I mean, the first one was the Red Lion in Preston. That's Preston, Hertfordshire, not Lancashire, which was bought by the villagers from Whitbread back in 1983. And it's still going strong. But over the next 20, 30 years, pretty steady growth. But it only really sort of exploded about, 10 years ago, we had the Localism Act, which introduced assets of community value, and that gave the community right to bid, and that triggered quite a bit of interest. A couple of years later, the Plunkett Foundation launched their cooperative pubs advice line. Then they got government funding to run this thing called More Than a Pub, which can offer financial support. at all stages of a pub rescue campaign. I think just success generated success. You know, people heard that this is a good idea and it works. And
there are options if their pub's under threat.
Indeed. And I suppose the other thing is it's sort of about that time that we saw a lot of pubs closing, being under threat, and people realise, well, we don't just have to give in. There is a solution. And so, as I said, there's now 145 actually owned by the communities. There's another 22 which are run by the communities but owned by somebody else. And we've got, at the moment, the list count, 44 active campaigns.
So if you were in a village or a town and your local pub is under threat of closure, being sold off or whatever, and you wanted to do something about this, how would you go about doing it?
Well, the first step, interest, you know. So are there enough people committed to keeping the pub going to make it worthwhile even thinking about a campaign? So you try and gather the amount of interest there is out there. Mm-hmm. And if there's enough people who seem to be up for it, form a group and do the necessary information gathering about what's the sale position. Have you got a willing seller? Is there scope for negotiation? You need to do your sums. You need to do feasibility studies, proper business plan, decide what operating model you're going to pursue. And most important of all, you've got to raise the money. So, but, you know, that's can be done through a combination of things. You know, people willing to buy shares. There are grants available. There are loans at very reasonable rates available from certain banks and other enterprises. There's a lot of support out there.
Yeah.
Yes, people like the Plunkett Foundation, Pub is a Hub, Camera, they're always willing to help. Local branches will get involved. So there's plenty of ways and means of doing it.
Can you give us some examples, actually? Because if you're going to set up a business, or in this case, if you're going to suggest that the community take over a business, it's certainly I found setting up a business really helpful to go and have other examples to have a look at and how they're doing things. So what shining examples have we got?
It feels a bit invidious to choose some more, because in my experience, they're all great. I suppose the general received opinion is that community pubs are in villages, fairly affluent villages. And to be fair, that is probably accounts for a lot of that. There are some really good examples in towns and cities, for instance. I mean London itself, one of my favourites, which was an early community pub, is the Ivy House in South London. The immediate problem you've got in somewhere like London is that property is very expensive. So the purchase price for that pub was £810,000. So that's, you know, pretty tall order, really. But, you know, for a mix of loans and grant finance, and 360 local people bought shares, and it's now this fantastic, vibrant community pub, very big on music, and it's absolutely thriving. And again, it's a pub that had been written off by the previous owners as a no-hoper. And in North London, there's a place called the Antwerp Arms, which needed a lot of money raising. But, you know, in that case, a thing called the Social Investment Bank, and they got a big loan from them at very advantageous rates. Oh, another urban one I must mention, because it's an absolute favourite of mine, is the Bell. It's in an area of Bath which is a bit alternative. You know, it had a very strong local following, but it didn't suit the model of the pub company that owned it. But the community, when it was under threat, people rallied round, bought shares. I think it's over 500 customers and fans got involved, including Robert Plant. They keep coming to me. Another one, which is in Brighton. It's a pub called the Bevy. And this was the first community-owned estate pub. It was the only pub in a large and, I mean, as we said, fairly deprived housing estate on the edge of Brighton. And it had been badly run for many years, and there were various problems associated with it, but local people didn't want to let it go, and it's now an absolutely superb community hub. And I believe there's about something like 70 different groups who use it. They've got a wheelchair accessible bus that goes around picking people up for events, and They built a training kitchen, and they offer community meals at lunchtime. You know, it's just a fantastic community effort.
I think I was just reading about that one on the Camera's website, actually. Talking of Camera, what's Camera doing to recognise them and support them? And perhaps you could tell us about the Pub Saving Award as well.
Yeah, I suppose the Pub Saving Award is the most visible accolade that we give them. I mean, we've been running that for 5 years now, and it's there to acknowledge the efforts of people who've gone the extra mile to save a pub. So as it happens, each of the five winners has been a community-owned pub, because that is the most dramatic way in which a pub can be rescued. We just awarded the 2020 winner to a pub called the Puzzle Hall Inn in Sowerby Bridge in West Yorkshire, which was a really iconic pub, but it had got very run down. And in fact, it was semi-derelict. There were enough people who committed to it to rally around and pump a lot of money into it. And I haven't actually had the pleasure of going there yet. Everything I see about it suggests that it's an absolute model of how to go about doing this.
Brilliant. I'll look forward to going there, because that's not that far away from where we are as well. And talking of COVID, I just want to finish up by asking how you think it's going to affect the community-owned pubs. Do you think it's going to make it easier or harder for them to weather other styles of pub management?
I do think community-owned pubs are often in a better place than most to ride out the pandemic. I mean, first of all, most of them actually own the freehold, so they don't have to worry about paying rent like pub tenants do. And the community will invariably see the pub as theirs, and that generates loyalty and commitment that other models can only dream of, really. And so I think when the happy day arrives that pubs do reopen, I'm sure the appetite for pub going will return as strongly as ever, particularly for pubs like these.
I really hope so. Do you reckon we're going to end up with a flush of new ones, new community-owned pubs?
Yes.
I can see quite a few pub co's starting to get rid of a few poorer players again.
2019 actually saw the most new openings. Mm. So there has been a spurt recently. And it is a sad fact that many pub businesses are bound to go under as a result of COVID. So, as you said, there probably will be quite a lot of pubs coming onto the market this year. But again, as I said, there's nothing to suggest that the British public have fallen out of love with pub going. So I think new operators will come along, but there'll definitely be opportunities for community groups to step in and perhaps pick up some bargains. Yeah, and as far as I'm concerned, the more community-owned pubs, the better. I mean, it's a model that works and results in well-run, community-focused pubs. So what's not to like about that?
It's absolutely incredible how many community pubs there are in this country, over 100 already. And it was interesting that none of them have gone bust, which really shows that the people know what will work in their local area.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas the previous owners had written them off as an unviable business. I think it just goes to show that, the community really does know best. And Camera has a really good viability test, which you can find on the website, and there's a link to that in the show notes, as Matt mentioned earlier, which asks all the right questions to work out if it could be a success and get the support of the locals.
Yeah, now Paul mentioned that there are 22 pubs that are actually run by the community themselves, as opposed to getting in a landlord to run it for them. And either way, whichever option you go for, keeping the pub going, it's going to be great for employment in the local area as well as the general vibrancy of the community. And there are currently 44 campaigns to save a local pub up and running right now that are being supported by Camera.
And that number, of course, could well rise with the new government scheme in June as well. And this community bus idea in Brighton that Paul mentioned, it's such a great idea. It must make the pub a lot more accessible to people out and around the wider community who perhaps couldn't otherwise get there.
Yeah, and I also like that he made the point that if the community buys the freehold, which they do in most cases, then there's no rent to pay. And that must, of course, really help during the lockdown. So I think it's one less thing for them to think and worry about going forward.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, having survived through the pandemic, as we hope most, if not all of them, will have done, it's a great focus for getting everyone back together afterwards. I mean, you can imagine, can't you? The parties being planned, yeah, the cast orders, you know, the little cheese on cocktail sticks, everything being dusted off and ready. Maybe some bunting that's being run up on someone's sewing machine. I can see it now. I'm transported away. I want to be a community pub guy.
Well, on the topic of the celebrations, back down the pub, it's time for We're Only Here for the Beer. And one of the pubs on the list that was featured in the BBC series last year, Saving Britain's Pubs with Tom Kerridge, which we talked about, of course, yeah, at the time, that was the Black Bull Hotel at Dartmoor near Loch Lomond. And like all the pubs on the list, it took a lot of hard work and dedication from people in the community. And I remember seeing in that programme how hard that they worked to keep that pub going. I think it was episode 2, and you can still catch it actually on iPlayer until November this year. So I guess we should pick, really, for our Only Here for the Beer, some community pubs. I'm not going to pick the one that I've got shares in, but I will give it a quick mention. It's the Cases Altered at Bentley, but that's not going to be my pick. So shall I start, or do you guys want? I'm choosing another community-owned pub, and this is at Great Bromley in North Essex. It's called the Cross Inn, usually known locally as the Bromley Cross. It was apparently formerly the home of a British heavyweight boxing champion called Frank Goddard, who was around, I think, in around the 1920s or so. And when he gave up boxing, he ran the pub, I believe. Anyway, it's a remote country inn, and I can certainly vouch for its remoteness. I've been there a number of times, and every time I've gone a different way, and I've gone home a different way. And sometimes it took me 5 minutes to get there, and sometimes it took best part of an hour, and I never quite knew why. But it's an absolute gem. It's well worth a visit, even if you do get lost on the way there. And it was saved by the community in 2016 after much campaigning, fundraising, a share offer. And since reopening, they've really done a lot of work there. They've done up the cellar, the kitchen. They've also done the whole of the interior. They've extended the toilets. They've got more wheelchair accessibility. And it also hosts a post office, obviously not at the moment because it's been shut for lockdown, but they have a post office, a coffee shop, and a community library as well at the pub, and some great music nights. A couple of mates of mine play in a band called Tea Ladies. They're not ladies and they don't drink tea, but they've done some great gigs at the Bromley Cross, and it's a real community pub and very much worth visiting when they're, I think they're reopening on the 30th of April.
Claire, that sounds absolutely wonderful. For me this week, I was actually quite drawn to the Red Lion that's featured, with it being the first community-owned pub in Britain. And what's great about it is it's down the road from me. It's in Hertfordshire, in Preston. So I think I've probably driven past it a few times. So I think I shall definitely be having a little mosey on down there. And it says from the write-up here that it offers a variety of beers from small breweries. It's got all of the good food. It uses locally sourced ingredients and, of course, hosts all of the fundraising and charity events that any good village and community-owned pub would host. So one that I've not been to but really like the sound of, and that's going to be my pick for this week. Looking forward to it. What about you, Matt?
Well, it's me up with me Cumbrian Massive again, going back to the edge of the lake. So the Punch Bowl Inn in Great Broughton, which is, I used to play tennis and cricket well there. So I used to do some bowling. And I used to go to the bowling. That was the way we used to. And it says here in its entry in the Good Beer Guide, it says, although the opening hours are limited, which is actually true. I remember it is generally based on when members of the community are around to run it. So that's some weird opening hours. But it says it's more than compensated for by the quality and variation of the ales. And it's served 135 different beers in the past year alone.
Whoa.
Wow.
So I feel like I need to go back there and try that again.
That's definitely one to visit. And of course, all these pubs we're mentioning, we're only here for the beer. They're in the Good Beer Guide 2021, which, of course, you can buy from Camera.
Just a couple of other useful links that are worth having a look at here. Now, this really is a pen and paper episode, isn't it? We will put it all in the show notes as well. But the Plunkett Foundation, this is all about helping rural communities. It's plunkett.co.uk. They've got resources to help setting up and running a community pub. So if you're listening, thinking about giving this a go, or already very much part of a community ownership scheme, then do give it a check out. Another one, Pub is the Hub. This aims to make the pub the centre of the community, pubisthehub.org.uk. And there was a lovely picture of Prince Charles smiling back at me when I went on there the other day.
I think that was one of his initiatives originally, or he was very involved with the setup of that, as I recall. Mm. Remember seeing a picture of him in the papers, I think, sort of in a pub pulling a pint or something. So yeah, he was very involved with Pub is the Hub.
Now, we have to mention again something that Paul mentioned, actually. The Pub Saving Award, just won by the Puzzle Hall in Sowerby Bridge in West Yorkshire. There's a complete list on the Camera website if you want to find out where your nearest community pub is. Not just people who have won the awards, there's all of them on there. And there's now over 100 around the country, and hopefully there'll be one not too far away from you.
And it's time now for our second interview, where we're off to Tollerton in Nottingham to meet Matt Garrard of the Tollerton Flying Club and find out how they saved their local pub, which is called the Air Hostess. Well, John Ram went along to have a chat for us, and he got some very interesting answers from Matt Garrard.
The Tollerton Community Trust is, and particularly the Tollerton Flying Club part of the Trust, is a community benefit society that is just over 1 year old, and that villagers in Tollerton set up in order to purchase, transform and save our village pub, the Air Hostess. And you'll immediately notice the connection in the names there.
Yeah.
We're working on a flying theme based on, I think, we are the only air hostess pub in the country. And so we've decided to keep true to that name, and a lot of the work we've done links back to it. In 2019, Everard's Brewery, that were the current owners of the pub, the only pub in our village, decided that it wasn't going to work for them going forwards, and so they decided to sell the pub. And our parish council had registered it as an asset of community value. I think Camera had tried that a few years before, and because it wasn't the local branch at the time, I think that had been rejected, so our parish council made a similar application. So having that status in place, when Everard's were looking to sell the pub, the first thing they did was get in touch with the local parish council to talk through what the options might be. And I think it was the first time that Everard's had to sell a pub that was an asset of community value, and they were really keen to work with us to see whether there was an option for the community to take that on and to keep it as a pub. And so the Flying Club was born out of that process, really. We had a public meeting in May of 2019, sort of largest gathering of residents for a number of years, with an overwhelming mandate that we should do something to try and purchase the pub and bring it back to life, really.
So was the Flying Club just a name because of the pub, or did it go the other way around?
There's a history linked to aviation within the village. So we have a small airport on the outskirts of the village. It was an RAF base at one point. And we had a parachute regiment, also an American parachute regiment, based within Tollerton Hall during the war. So there's a bit of a sort of backstory there within the village's history. And at one point there was a drinking club known as the Flying Club. So we kind of pinched the name from a little bit of the village's history.
You got people together, which is great. It seems like you have a pretty impressive sort of village spirit. I've been looking a bit at the website, and you've got the fair and the plough and such like. But to mobilise people and get that kind of money is quite an impressive thing. Why do you think that happened?
I think it's really interesting that the number of people that came together to support this project. Sometimes you could have gone in the pub in the past on a Friday night, and you might be the only person in there. So it's incredible to see that from a base of not many people using the pub, that actually there was this underlying interest in the village in making a success of it. So from having public meetings with 150 people turning up, we've got to the stage where we've got 400 shareholders who've invested in the pub and are now part of that community within the Flying Club, who committed financially to seeing successful pub running within the village.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that used to be said about the village pre-pandemic was that whilst we had a number of different community activities and things going on, that it could sometimes look and feel a bit like what might be described as a dormitory village, that people were kind of sleeping here, but they were going off to commuting to other places for work, mm-hmm. and you didn't see quite so many people within the village. And the pub is sat within the sort of centre of the village, and part of this project has been very much to try and pull the pub into being the heart of the community. And it's been incredible to see that reaction from residents. So whilst we've been transforming the interior and the exterior of the pub, it was during lockdown, so people were able to go out for their daily exercise and sort of linger on the outskirts of the village and of the pub and take note of what progress was being made. And you could see people sort of pointing at different bits and hear them talking about what they thought was going where. And so the interest is kind of built through that period. And then obviously when we were able to open, everyone very keen to see what was different and to experience it. Almost like there was some pent-up frustration that it was a bit of a release for people. But it has then brought people together, just not just through the project, but since it was open. During the current lockdown, we'd got different takeaways and things going on. Mm. And we've got a great management team in place who are really actively trying to work with the community. It's ticking all of the boxes that we wanted to achieve at the moment.
How did you get involved in your personal role as chair or whatever? And what have you been doing as part of the project yourself?
For my sins, I'm the chairman of the parish council here in Tollerton as well, and so when we kicked off the project, I naturally moved into the role of chairman of the community business as well, to kick everything off really. And what we want to really ultimately achieve is a sustainable pub that's at the heart of our community. And obviously the last year has been slightly unusual, to say the least.
Absolutely.
It's not quite job done yet, so we're looking to make sure that actually what we have delivered is something that will work going forward. And if not, then we'll look to tweak it and to change it. Throughout the 18 months of the project, I've been working with Everard's Brewery to negotiate the actual purchase. Got to say that they were really, really good to work with, really constructive, and just wanting us to succeed with this as well. So that went really well. Involved with the selection of a tenant to run the pub for us. So meeting different potential applicants, understanding the businesses that they run now, how they could work with us to achieve the objectives that we have. That was really enlightening process to be involved with. Through to getting my hands dirty, there's a really good photo of me jumping up and down on turf to get it established in the rain and things like that. So
excellent.
Yeah, but basically whatever's needed doing, people have mucked in, and I'm the same.
Very good. And I must admit, I have to congratulate you for the website. I don't know whether you were part of that, but I think it's really excellent, and it's very useful. It tells you about the progress that's been made. And certainly for me as a blind person, the text is great, but I can tell you've got photos there as well to sort of chart the progress of what you've done. So would you recommend community ownership to other people, other pubs?
Absolutely, yeah. We invited our local MP Ruth Edwards to come join us when we were in that brief period where we were able to trade to talk through the benefits of that business model. So I suppose what you get with a community ownership is a free house. There are no pressures, no burdens on the operation of the business. You've just got the sort of financing of whatever you've committed into the business to start with. So in our case, our funding model was a mixture of funding from the parish council, from shareholders, and the More Than a Pub scheme, where we got a sort of grant and loan combination. So we set our tenants a sort of modest rent that helps us pay off those costs. Mm-hmm. And then they're free to make a success of the business and a profit. We're not looking to sell them beer or to take our slice off the top. If they do really well, then there's an element of profit that would come back into the community business, and we can use that to fund other community events and good causes. They have that freedom to make the business thrive, and we're not kind of, they haven't got one hand tied behind their back like other models might create for them.
So you're not running the pub by committee, as it were?
Absolutely not. None of us are experts in running a pub. Everyone has their own ideas of what they want to achieve. But I'm not a publican. I think that's a very specialist role. And we quickly took the decision that we didn't want to run it by committee. We wanted to get someone in who knew what they were doing and give them the freedom to run it in their own way. We've got three sort of overall objectives. We want it to be best for beer, best for families, and best for grub, our kind of BFG message. And it's, you know, it's up to them to run it in line with that. So we expect to have good quality, regularly changing beer there. I want to be excited by going in. I want to be able to take my family in there and for them to be able to relax and for it to be welcoming for them. At the same time, I might want to just pop in for a drink and have a quiet pint. And ultimately, want to be able to have a good, tasty, traditional bar meal. Nothing too fancy or pretentious. I think one of our committee described it as you shouldn't have to go Google what the ingredients are on a dish. You should understand it straight away.
Yeah.
And that's kind of stuck with me. That's what we've asked them to achieve, to provide good welcoming service as well. And the shareholders and the management committee, we provide them with feedback on that. If there's something that's going awry, we'll happily tell them. We've got a really good relationship with them, but it's up to them. They're the publicans. They run pubs and know what they're doing, so
sure.
Why would we try to do that for them?
Well, absolutely. And it's interesting with the ACV idea. I've heard that talked about quite a bit in a very sort of combative way. You sound like you had a really good experience with the brewery.
Yeah, I mean, having the asset of community value on the pub was obviously our key to the door, really, that kicked everything off and gave us the opportunity to be involved with the brewery when they looked to put it on the market. So they notified us, and it didn't go on to the open market. We started having a conversation, and they were really good to work with. We've been in touch with them since. They've had a few other pubs where they've been looking to do something similar, and we've been able to share our experience with those communities that are going for a similar process.
Oh, right.
But yeah, certainly we would strongly recommend that if you've got a pub that you think might be at risk, get it registered as an asset of community value. The experience may vary from owner to owner, but certainly Everard's Brewery were really good to work with.
And if you get it registered, then they have to take that into account when they're considering disposing of the place, yeah?
That's correct, yeah. There are limits to it. They don't actually have to sell you it,
no.
But they have to have that conversation with you, and you get a sort of moratorium where they can't actively sell it to anyone else. So it gives you the opportunity to go and explore the different business models and funding opportunities that are out there. For anyone that was looking to go down that route, then obviously Camera is a great source of expertise, but the Plunkett Foundation have provided us with a lot of support, which is been invaluable, from having an advisor telling us about the experience of other pubs through to being able to help us unlock funding. All of that kind of guidance has just really helped us.
So what's one piece of advice you might pass on to others starting this journey?
I think the first thing that we would say to people is try and find out what it is that people would want that pub to be. In our case, we decided to go for a high ambition model, where we decided that in order to achieve what our residents were telling us, we kind of added 50% plus to the internal floor space, and we gutted the kitchen. So we put an awful lot into the project, but you don't need to do that. If you're going to try and save your pub, you need to understand what it is that's going to help you achieve that.
You talked about sustainability a little earlier. So I know it's a difficult question, but how do you see the future of the pub now?
Yeah, so far on a financial level, we're okay. We've made the most of the grants and the loans that have been available, and we've kept afloat. We've been doing some trading with takeaway services and things like that. I think in our village, there's just a real enthusiasm for the pub being back open again, and people are April the 12th, I think it is, I think the beer garden is going to be full, and come rain or shine, I think
it won't be that. The only one, I don't think.
It'll be a sight, won't it? I think there is that eagerness to get back into the pub, and I think we are in a lucky position where we should be able to open and trade without being in a rut to start with. Mm. Obviously, there are going to be some restrictions in place that's going to limit what we can do and how successful we might be.
Well, thanks very much, Matt, for chatting to us, and I very much hope your pub does stay open, does continue to serve the community and serves brilliant ales. So thanks very much.
Thank you, John. It's been a pleasure.
It's early days for them, but it's all happened in the last year. It does sound as if they've got off to a flying start with the air hostess.
There we go. He's back.
No, but seriously, those historic links with the old airfield are so good to preserve. I do wonder if they've dug up some old photos to put on the wall. Well, that's just the kind of thing you can ask the community. Someone's bound to have an old box or scrapbook, aren't they? Bring it into the pub, get it framed up onto the wall for everyone to see.
Do you reckon, as it's called the air hostess, it's nicknamed the trolley dolly?
I like that. Don't touch the sandwiches. Get in for the chicken first, or else it'll be gone by the time they get to the back. There we are. That is. I mean, if I was doing it, I'd do a terrible job. I'd do it like a theme pub with like a kind of fuselage bit on the wall and like kind of all pictures. I'd make it way too corny.
I'd put all of the seats really close to the one in front. I just have a small tray in which you can have your drink. No one had ever come to that pub ever, but there we are.
This is why our camera podcast community pub would be not very
terrible.
Popular. It's just a series of quite poorly thought out puns from me and then some more reasonable things from you two. Well, I tell you what, it shows actually in that interview how useful the ACV, that's Asset of Community Value for all our acronym fans out there, it's how useful that ACV regulation is to give the community the right to make a bid for the pub. Because it means that at least those in the community who are interested are notified early in the process, so they have a chance to get involved and raise the money. And as Paul Ainsworth said in the first interview, there's still a lot to get organised, you know, in terms of the money and planning. It's a huge task, isn't it? But at least the pub can't get sold because of that regulation without anyone knowing about it until it's too late.
Yeah.
And it does seem that Everard seemed to deal with it very sympathetically. Although it didn't fit into their business plan, I got the feeling from the interview they were quite pleased with the outcome, and no one likes to see pubs closing. So if someone else can make a go of it, then everyone's happy, and Everard's makes some great beer, and maybe they still have it in the air hostess. But being owned by the community, it means they're not tied to getting their beers and ciders from just one supplier. So that obviously means a lot more choice for the customers.
Yeah, and I think they had a great Roald Dahlish abbreviation, BFG, Beer Families Grub, and that must go down well with the kids as well. They probably think the bar staff are big friendly giants. Matt admitted not knowing the first thing about running a pub, although it sounds like he's learned a lot through the process of setting it up. That's Matt in the interview, not our Matt Bundy here.
Although I don't know anything either.
But it must depend very much on the type of community being served, I think, as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite good timing coinciding with the lockdown. So they got loads of people involved. You know, it'll be 400 shareholders. That means plenty of people having, you know, a direct interest in its success. And Matt said that when everyone was just commuting to and from work, you know, you might be the only person in the pub on a Friday night. But with everyone staying more local, there are actually lots more people around to give it a buzz when they were allowed to open last year. So.
That's right. He said that they just try to make it financially secure for the community, which is the whole point. Mm. The landlord can run it as a business and make money, and the community gets to have a nice pub and everyone's a winner.
Yeah. He also mentioned the More Than a Pub scheme, which is organised by the Plunkett Foundation we mentioned earlier. And again, they can tell you all about the grants and loans that are available to help make it work.
There's a load of resources here. I need to write all this down. You know, this is what I need to do. Right, now it's time for us to dive into the archive. Jingle still pending. And this week, you know, we're looking at an article in What's Brewing from 1978.
A lot happened in 78, didn't it? We always seem to mention 1978.
Yeah, it's almost as if only that part of the archive was saved from the office before it was locked up. Yeah. That's the thing. Just quick, grab what you can. I've got 78. Bring it.
He's
come
got
on.
78. That's all we need.
Yeah, 79 was a great. Don't get leave 79. It's fine. There we are. So, well, apparently, then in this particular article, Camera was thinking about taking on and saving pubs itself, and they've actually formed an offshoot company called Camera Investments and took over running five pubs. And the article's kind of mentioning that they had a bit of a cash crisis in the past, but they were over that and they were now looking to buy new pubs.
And one of the ones they were looking at that time was the Fleece Inn in Worcestershire, which had been left to the National Trust. Well, it's hard to find out what happened to that pub, but the Fleece is still going strong. It's still owned by the National Trust. And in fact, it was Camera's Worcestershire Pub of the Year in 2018 and 2020. The other five pubs, though, I did have a look at them and to see what's happened to them. Couple are still going, but don't serve real ale. One permanently closed around 15 years ago. That was the Old Fox in Bristol. Another one, the Nag's Head in Hampstead, that's closed and is now an estate agent's. But the Salisbury Arms in Cambridge is still going. It's reopening in May. And apparently it's still known by some locally as the Camera Pub, even though obviously Camera doesn't own any pubs anymore, but those with longer memories in the Cambridge area still call it the Camera Pub.
Oh, well, that's wonderful stuff. And yes, Camera doesn't run pubs anymore, but at the AGM in Aberdeen back in 1989, a small group of activists decided that they wanted to invest in the industry that they cared about in such a way that would help to reinforce their ideals and beliefs. Yes, now there is still a Camera Members Investment Club, but it's completely separate from Camera and no campaign funds are involved, but all investments are owned completely by the club's 3,000 plus members and nobody else. You can find out more about that at cmic.uk.com.
I did have a little look on there, and I'm genuinely interested in it. Seems like they've got millions of pounds. They've got loads of different pubs going across the country. It looks like a great scheme for getting involved. So they might have millions of pounds plus my 10p at the end of the week. So
philanthropy is still philanthropy.
I'm still there. There we are. Right then, it is time, everybody, for last orders. So I want to hear about what you've been drinking recently. Come on, tell me. Make me jealous.
Malt, barley, hops and yeast and water, funnily enough.
Interesting. If only we could make something with that.
Yes. Well, do you know what? When I put the oil in a pot, or rather I didn't put it in a pot, but Robinson's Brewery put it into a bottle for me, and that was Old Tom. That's been my drink of the week this week. And I think I don't know where I saw it advertised recently. It must have been actually as part of the Camera Good Beer Box, which we've mentioned before and we'll certainly mention to you in future episodes. But I don't know if you ever had Old Tom, but it's wonderful. It's a real rich, malty, warming drink. It's got this real distinctive port wine kind of vibe going on. Nice and bitter. Really, really great drink for me. And I remember when we went up to Robinson's Brewery for my brother-in-law's stag do. I mean, where else do you want to do a stag do in Manchester? It was, you know, I remember having it there as well. And it's just delicious stuff. So that's my beer of the week. Old Tom, Robinson's Brewery.
Well, I'm about to order from our local pub who are doing deliveries at the moment, although I think next week we'll be able to go and collect again from the pub gate. They're not quite opening just yet. This is a beer that I mentioned in the very first podcast that I took part in, I think. It's from Ampersand Brewery. It's called Co-Cow. And although I haven't quite been drinking it as we're recording this, by the time listeners can hear it, I will have been drinking it. In fact, I probably will have finished the beer that I'm ordering from the pub. I'm still on the dark sort of stouts and porters because it's still a bit chilly around here. And this is a lovely chocolatey stout. It's called Co-Cow. It's from a little brewery on the Norfolk and Suffolk border called Ampersand. And I absolutely love this beer. As soon as I saw that the pub had some for delivery again this week, I thought, right, get my order in really quickly.
Well, I've been keeping the cider end up, following on from last week's podcast about it. Still going through my Scratting's mystery box, which has been a great servant to me, a real great selection of medium sweet ciders, because I do like the sweeter ones. And I'm actually trying one this week that's called Oldfields Worcestershire Cider. It's medium sweet, only 4.8, but absolutely delicious. Smooth as silk. And a real treat through this weird week we've had of hailstorm, snow and blazing sun.
Really,
I don't care what the weather.
All of the seasons, haven't we, this week?
Yeah. That's the thing. The cider, though, it's for any weather. I always say that, not just for summer for me. This is an all-season cider.
Wonderful.
Right, well, I'll tell you what, actually, that's all we've got time for, I'm afraid. It's been lovely to chat to you all, as always. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time, as usual, with an episode about real ale bars in other parts of the world.
Oh, I like
we're
this.
Going globetrotting, from the comfort of our own sofa. It's
Which is the only way you can do globetrotting at the moment, anyway.
That is true. We'll take people on a journey. It's going to include an interview all the way from Argentina, which I'm sure would be pretty fascinating. That sounds amazing. Until then, thank you so much for listening to Pubs, Pints, People, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. I say, by which time pub gardens will be open and we can be together looking at each other across the tables in the pub garden from then. So there we are. See you later. Bye.
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 Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
How does a free case of beer sound?
Yes, you can grab a case for free courtesy of our pals at Beer 52 by going to www.beer52.com/people, that's the numbers 52 in the 52, and covering the meagre postage cost of £5.95. And what's more, as a special offer for our listeners, they'll throw in 2 extra beers for free, so that's 10 unique craft beers.
Beer 52 is actually the biggest beer club in the world. Each month, they send their members a case of beer from a different part of the world, and this month it's an absolute belter. Their great European road trip case takes in the best beers from across the continent.
So try a crisp, refreshing Pilsner from Norway's Lervig Brewery and a monster 7.5 double IPA from Sweden's Durges Brewery. On the dark side this month, there's a smooth stout from Copenhagen's Tuol. There's also beer from Croatia, Poland, Germany, Serbia and Austria, among others.
And if dark beer's not your thing, you can choose the light-only case. Also included is the ever-insightful Ferment magazine and a couple of tasty snacks. And even if, after all that, you're still unsatisfied, you can simply pause or cancel at any time.
So head over to www.beer52.com/people to claim your free case of 10 beers now.